The words to the Centennial Ode, with the exception of the poems from Walt Whitman's Drum Taps, were written by John Rothwell Slater. Dr. Slater and I have attempted, in words and music, to capture the spirit of the university's 100-year history, and I have therefore used, in addition to my own music, appropriate college folk and hymn tunes. The narrator is Leonard Treisch of the Eastman School faculty, and the performers are the Eastman School of Music Chorus and the Eastman Rochester Symphony Orchestra. I hope that you will enjoy these excerpts from our Centennial Ode for the University of Rochester.
Century is not long in history, geology, astronomy, but in life it is three generations throwing light or shadow on a fourth. Few but the dead care much about 1850. Few but the old remember much before 1900. None but the young will see the year 2000. Hail to them all! In this Eastman Theater, erected for the enrichment of community life, let us for half an hour enrich our life. Pause to hear time passing by with music. Wonder how we came, where to call next. Generation, it gives time and place to think. The anniversary itself is of minor importance, except as a part of everything that has been and will be. A few notable words from our academic history, seemingly remote and unconnected, may soon reveal a dynamic design. It is the history of creative change, of promises fulfilled, of promises still unfulfilled, awaiting wider vision, stronger will. It is the history of Meliora. The Erie Canal, romantic gateway to the West. It knew the young university well, for near its banks in the old United States Hotel, the university was founded. It was here on November 5th, 1850, that John N. Wilder of Albany, chairman of the executive board, addressed the first college assembly of 60 students and 7 professors. He said, "The espionage practiced in nearly all other colleges will not be introduced here. The managers start with the idea that all who come here to improve their minds are gentlemen, and they mean to treat them as such." That promise has been kept 100 years. President Martin B. Anderson, elected in 1853, said to the graduates of 1855, "Living to the common age of man, you will behold the dawn of the 20th century. Let your principles of action be so formed and your character so molded that whatever may be the world's progress in religion or art, in thought or freedom, you may ever be in sympathy with the purest aspirations and noblest impulses of the remotest year to which God may prolong your lives." The young college had 10 years of plain living and high thinking. Then came the drum. present, open to those who seek to know what man can do to master his fate by science, sustain his spirit by art, and guide his life by wisdom. In October 1900, Rush Rhys was inaugurated president in the Alumni Gymnasium on the Prince Street campus. His coming was a turning point, leading first to a difficult decade, then to a quarter century of growth. Admission of women in 1900, due to the early generosity of Lewis H. Morgan and the persistent energy of Susan B. Anthony and her friends, added to the human assets and the financial liabilities of the struggling college. Once more, a promise, though long delayed, was kept. Rush Rhys said, "The aim of liberal education is the emancipation of the mind from the shackles of ignorance, of prejudice, which is something other than ignorance, of superficial judgment, and of narrowness of outlook in life. That emancipation for which Rush Rhys stood is one more promise to be kept in days to come." George Eastman said, "The progress of the world depends almost entirely upon education. Fortunately, the most permanent institutions of man are educational. They usually endure even when governments fall." George Eastman said, "Rochester is well started on its way toward being the finest city in the world in which to live and bring up children." George Eastman left us a great opportunity not yet wholly understood. In this great hall which he built for the people, he may now be understood. His dream may be revived. Human welfare, protected by science and justice, ennobled by art and wisdom, is not yet wholly with us. It is not yet evident in this city, this country, or this world. That grace, that happiness, even for children yet unborn, which George Eastman thought good health, fine music, and educational opportunities could bring to an entire community, where are they now? Let them be remembered. We are all his heirs, entrusted with the future of his great adventure.
Centennial Ode, directed by its composer, Dr. Howard Hanson, with the Eastman Rochester Symphony Orchestra and the Eastman Chorus, with Leonard Tricia's narrator.